Tonight we look at God's Word as it's found in Psalm 24. Psalm 24 that is printed on the back of your bulletin tonight if you'd like to follow there or follow in your own Bibles. Psalm 24, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Tonight we gather for a little time this evening to reflect upon the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think we'd have to acknowledge that if we consider the various Christian holidays in the church, the ascension is often overlooked. We can't imagine forgetting about Christmas. We can't imagine forgetting about Easter. But perhaps, even today, some of you didn't think, perhaps maybe 5 o'clock, oh, that's right, it's Ascension Day, we have church tonight. The Ascension is an incredibly significant Christian holiday and celebrates the glories of Christ, and yet often overlooked. What is, now perhaps that's because we don't fully appreciate the nature of the day. What is Ascension Day about? What are we celebrating tonight, children? Why are we here? They say, well, Reverend Niemeyer, that's easy. We read in the text earlier that Jesus went from earth to heaven. He ascended. He went up. That's what ascension means. Well, it's true. Jesus went from earth back to heaven. He went up. But the significance of the ascension is not simply a change in geography. That Jesus was one place, now He's someplace else. No, we refer to this day as Ascension Day because that word ascension has a royal character to it. When a king would take his throne, he was said to ascend to the throne. That's why we celebrate the ascension. Not just a change of geography from here to there, but Christ ascends, He takes His royal throne once again. So that's what we celebrate this evening. A change in Christ's ministry, truly, from earth to heaven, but also Christ being given the fullness of what He was called to do and recognized as the King. Psalm 24 speaks about a king going up. It is very likely that Psalm 24 was originally used for the entrance of the Ark of God, that which was His throne here on earth, the entrance of the Ark of God into the temple. And as that Ark was brought into the temple, they would recognize the truths of Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Who's this King of glory? Who's coming here? As the King ascends to His royal throne, Psalm 24 points us forward to Jesus Christ and His ascension. For His kingdom is firmly established. Now we might think that since Christ went from earth back to heaven, that His kingdom is only a heavenly kingdom. And it's true, Christ's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. It is a kingdom for the angels. It is a kingdom for the dead in Christ, where they bring praise to him. But heaven is not the extent of the kingdom. What does Psalm 24 say? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Christ's kingdom is not simply a heavenly kingdom, but Christ's kingdom is an earthly kingdom. He reigns from heaven. He reigns over heaven and also reigns over the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Christ rules over the heavens, he rules over the earth, and over all the people, and over all the things, the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell therein. He is king over us here on earth. Not simply a heavenly kingdom, but a kingdom right here, right now. The world and all who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. He has established his kingdom. He has founded his kingdom. And the author David here uses a typical picture from his time. There are many creation stories from Old Testament periods. And they all seem to have the same theme of there being a watery chaos where things began, and from that chaos, that watery chaos had to be tamed, had to be captured, and then the kingdom is established. He says he has founded his kingdom upon the seas, he's established it upon the rivers, he has tamed that chaos. He has tamed those waters. Elsewhere in the Psalms, you see that same theme coming through of the waters, the chaos, the turmoil, and God comes and he establishes his kingdom over the waters. We think back to how our own Genesis account begins. Genesis 1 verse 1, we read about that establishment on the waters, where Moses writes to us in Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, darkness over the face of the deep," this chaotic waters, "and the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters," and then God begins his work of creation. He tames the waters. He sets the boundaries. Jesus Christ is that one through whom the world was created. John 1 verse 3 talks about that as the Word of God, that creative force, that creative power. He establishes his kingdom here on earth, over the waters, over the tumult, over the chaos. Jesus establishes his kingdom. And he is the king of that kingdom because he perfectly fits the qualifications for a king. That's what the psalm asks in Psalm 24. Who is it that shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who's going to go up? Who's going to ascend? Who's going to be the king? Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? Not just anyone can be the king. Has to be one appointed, one who has the right qualifications. David says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Clean hands and a pure heart. And here in these two phrases, he so beautifully talks about external actions, about internal desires. Clean hands, what we can see, the actions that we do. And we think about Jesus Christ and his life, and it was an absolutely perfect life. All of his actions in conformity with the law of God. All of his actions perfect. Who will ascend this hill? It must be one whose actions are perfect, whose hands are clean. Christ fits that qualification. It must be one whose heart is pure, whose internal desires and motivations are toward God. Again, Christ is the only one who fits. Even when facing his own crucifixion, he prays to God, "Not my will, but your will." His internal desire to do what was pleasing to God. Who will ascend this hill? Who will go up to this holy place? The one with clean hands and with a pure heart. None of us fit the qualifications. Our hands aren't clean. Our hearts aren't pure. But Jesus Christ, the anointed king, perfectly fits the description. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This one who goes up will receive the blessing of God. Now think of that in terms of Jesus and his ministry. He spent eternity with God in heaven. In the fullness of time, he came to earth. He was born, a child, lived among us. And his death was a death of curse. He didn't die of old age. He was crucified on a cross, a symbol of the curse of God. And now he has been raised from the dead and is once again ascending back to heaven. God is receiving him again as a blessing to say the end was not a curse for him, but God received him back once again. He will receive blessing from God, righteousness from the God of his salvation. The crucifixion was a symbol of a cursedness. The ascension, a symbol of blessing. Christ is the one who is perfectly qualified, for he has received that blessing from God, received back into heaven once again. And then verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And here we are brought into the story. Christ is the only one who of himself is qualified. Christ is the only one who of himself has clean hands and a pure heart. But he, as he has received that blessing from God, he has gone into heaven ahead of his people. And now, by faith, we become included in those who are allowed to dwell in God's presence, who are allowed to ascend his hill, to come before him in worship. Not because of our own self, we're still those fallen and sinful, but Christ has earned our salvation for us. He has earned our righteousness for us. Granted that to us, that now we as the generation of God's people might seek his face. Left to ourselves, we'll never seek him. Left to ourselves, we'll go our own way. But in his ascension, we see our own flesh now taken up into heaven as a wonderful assurance for us, as a wonderful hope for the future. When we stand at the grave of a loved one, we know that is not the end. That grave is not the final resting place, but there will be this ascension for us too. We know it because Christ himself has ascended. He has gone up to that holy hill. He is sat on his throne. And he will bring us to be with him. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. The ascension gives us great hope for the future, great assurance that we too will be taken up from earth to heaven because Christ has gone there ahead of us. He, as our King, has ascended to his holy throne, and he will bring us to be with him and to praise him for eternity. He is perfectly qualified to be the King. And then finally, David says, this King, this one and only qualified King, must receive the praise of his people. And through personification here, he speaks to the gates of Jerusalem, the gates of the temple as that ark is being brought in, that even these gates should bring praise to him. Lift up your heads in praise, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is given the title King of glory. And the gates are called to give him praise. He is the one who is mighty in battle. Mighty, strong, mighty in battle. We think of Jesus Christ. We do not serve a weak king. We do not serve a weak Christ. But we serve one who is a victor. Mighty in battle. The one who has defeated sin. The one who has defeated death. The one who has defeated Satan himself. Jesus Christ, the strong, the mighty, the one before whom the gates lift their heads in praise. And he deserves our praise, the praise of his people, for he is our king, our victor, the one who is mighty on our behalf, who through his righteousness gives us righteousness. He deserves the praise. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord who not only is strong in himself, but who leads the hosts of heaven. The leader of his people. The hosts of heaven and his hosts here on earth. The King and head of his church. And his kingship needs to be recognized, needs to be evident in our lives. This Lord of hosts, this Lord over his people, this Lord over this great mass, calls us to a certain type of kingdom living. Calls us to live in a particular way, recognizing his kingship. Not only for an hour on Sunday in church, but his kingship over every part of our lives. His kingship over our homes. The fact that Jesus Christ is King needs to impact how we as husbands treat our wives. We don't follow our own ideas, what we think is right, but we follow the precepts of the King, who gives instructions to husbands. This is how you should care for your wives. Christ's kingship affects how we as wives love our husbands and submit to them for the sake of Christ, not for their sake so much, but for the sake of Christ, who is the King and who gives us instructions of how we are to live. Children, you obey mom and dad, not just because it's a good thing to do, but because Jesus Christ is King. And as King, he has given you, his children, his hosts, instructions. This is what you are to do. This is how you are relate to mom and dad. Through honor. Through obedience. Because Jesus reigns as King. Because he is the one who is in control. In our work. In our education. In our recreation. In every part of our life. The ascension touches absolutely everything that we do. Because Christ is not a king over a little slice of our life, or over even a little slice of the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. It all belongs to him. It all is called to bring praise to the King. That's our call too. Now tonight, once again, as we take time to reflect upon Jesus' kingship, upon the fact that he is right now ruling and reigning from heaven, that should make a difference with regard to your going home tonight, how you relate to each other as a family, with regard to going to work tomorrow, and with regard to your preparation for worship on Sunday. Jesus Christ's kingship is a kingship over all. Tonight we celebrate his enthronement as King. That enthronement was for his glory, for his honor, for his righteousness and vindication. But that kingship is also for our blessing. That the loving King cares enough about us, his people, to give us instruction and to send us his Spirit that we might live as faithful citizens in his kingdom. May God give us the grace tonight to go from this place celebrating King Jesus Christ and committing our lives to serve him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for for the work of salvation, that you sent him to earth, perfect, without spot, without blemish, to take our sin upon himself, that he fully accomplished the work to be our Savior, the one who has given us new life. And we praise you, O God, not only for his work as Savior, but also for his work as Lord, as King, as ruler. May we with joy recognize and embrace his kingship. May we with joy offer ourselves in loving service to him, following after his royal kingly ways, living as sons and daughters of a king, and by your Spirit receiving the blessing of you, God our Father. Strengthen us for your service and hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen.